25 years ago this evening, a new rock musical by a little-known writer named Jonathan Larson went on stage for the first time. The audience that night was just friends and family. They filed into a small off-Broadway theater to see Rent. The show was a retelling of La Boheme, set on the Lower East Side of New York as people were dying of AIDS. It became an international phenomenon, winning the Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award, among others.
525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments so dear.
But that first preview performance almost didn't happen. Early that morning, Jonathan Larson died of an aortic aneurysm. Here are a few people who were there that night.
My name is Tim Weil, and I am the original music director for the show. It really begins and ends with Jonathan's writing as a great composer and a great lyricist. He knew as much about Billy Joel's piano playing as he knew about Sondheim's lyric writing. He was really just extraordinary.
Hi, this is Anthony Rapp, and I played Mark Cohen. I've always felt that Mark was the closest sort of stand-in for Jonathan. You know, Jonathan himself was a cishet, HIV-negative man who was watching what was happening around him and responding to it and trying to find a way to channel the grief and anger and hopelessness that he was feeling into something positive. And Mark is very much doing that.
How do you document real life when real life's getting more like fiction each day?
I'm Daphne Rubin Vega, and I played Mimi.
It was a lot of fun to be able to practically apply my research of partying. Not that I was a junkie stripper with AIDS, no offense to junkie strippers with AIDS, but I knew these people, I knew this world. I grew up around this world.
I'm Michael Greif, and I'm the director of Rent. We were rehearsing What You Own, and there was a disruption. And we found out that the disruption was that Jonathan was feeling very ill.
They called a stop to the rehearsal, and Jonathan, as only Jonathan would, he said, "Can you believe it? I pass out in the theater right as the characters are singing Dying in America."
Dying in America, at the end of the millennium. We're dying in America, to come into our own.
They misdiagnosed him with possible food poisoning.
Of course, they don't look for a 10-inch tear in your aorta from a healthy 36-year-old.
So we had a dress rehearsal. Jonathan showed up after being ill for a couple of days.
We felt super happy and excited. I mean, it had gone very, very well.
We did notes that night, and that was the night he went home and passed away.
One song, glory. One song before I go, glory. One song to leave behind.
This is Jim Nicola. I'm the artistic director of New York Theatre Workshop. At 8:30 in the morning, my phone rang, and it was our production manager who said she'd just gotten off the phone with the police, and she told me that he had died. And didn't see that coming. So I got dressed. We called the cast. We need to be together.
I am Wilson Germain Heredia, and I played Angel. The call came to me in the morning, and it was surreal.
We were huddled together because the only thing that was real was uncertainty.
Sometimes we would talk to each other, but sometimes we would just sit in silence and shock and cry.
It was decided that we do it with a sit-down reading, no costumes, water on the table, scripts in hand, but that the show must go on was imperative.
To
days of inspiration, playing hooky, making something out of nothing. The need to express, to communicate.
The show itself is so much about, in the face of loss, still finding opportunities to find joy.
We're doing it as a reading, but because there were so many emotions involved, by the time that we got to La Vie Boheme, you know, it completely erupted into a whole full-out staged performance. Daphne got on the table, then I got on the table. It was just an explosion of people. We couldn't stop doing it.
Viva la vie bohème!
We took a break where intermission was. You know, I remember going backstage and said, well, it's clear that we want to do more of this, so let's do a staged version of whatever you want to do of Act Two.
It was an incredible mixture of life matching art, matching life. The distance between what we were experiencing as ourselves and as the characters was like tissue paper thin.
There's only us, there's only this. Forget, regret, or life is yours to miss.
There was this, you know, thunderous ovation at the end. And then when we went backstage to like change and get out of our microphones and all that stuff, when we came out, no one had moved. And when you have a couple hundred people sitting together in silence, that is a profound silence.
We were painfully aware that Jonathan wasn't, you know, getting up and coming in from the back of the house.
And we all sat there together just for a very, very, very long time. And then finally a voice from the back of the theater said, thank you, Jonathan Larson. And that sort of broke the spell.
No day but today.
It was as if Jonathan had written his own memorial service or funeral, and we were performing it for ourselves and for his loved ones. It was an astonishing moment that, you know, yeah, it's 25 years ago, I will never forget it as long as I live.
A few of the voices from the very first live performance of Rent, which happened 25 years ago today. Our story was produced by Jeff London and Rose Friedman.
No day but today.